We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Are you ready?
It's Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Came back with this four-seam fastball right there in the middle. Maybe a little two-seam action. Devers switching over to the left side. Obviously a switch hitter. Right-handed switches over to the left side.
And he also made a brilliant catch in right field.
I'd call that a five-tool player. And we call that a Statue of Liberty take. And he lost his glove. We call that a yard sale.
Whoever scores the most runs is going to win the ball game.
With Glenn, Lou, and Christian.
I feel sorry for LeBron James tonight. His teammates are saying legendary.
That's a lot, man. Do you realize what they're up against?
I have zero level of concern at this stage.
LeBron James, you say you ain't worried? You better get there, I'm worried. But them young boys are coming for your head.
Oh, Chuck, stop it.
No, you're bigger such flip-flop an a-hole than I am.
Like, your take
you're
suck.
Flip-flop.
You're always fucking wrong.
Great.
You're 2 days late to every party.
I've killed it with
and
these.
Now,
I've killed
you're sitting there trying to jump on the bandwagon.
Right now, on Sports Radio WEEI.
Another idea.
No room for you.
Another
no.
idea for Ness.
Exactly.
I got another idea for Nesson.
What do you got?
We've been helping them out so much here today. I feel obligated to give them a little bit more of a tip. A podcast, a Johnny Gomes podcast. All you do, and you don't even have to have Johnny do any heavy lifting. All you do is you take like the best 12, 15 great lines that he had from the night before. You edit them all together. You give like, you know, a quick little 12-minute, 15-minute podcast.
Them.
Right, in between one, you know, sales meeting to another sales meeting, you
too
throw
much
the podcast
information.
In
it's
there.
Too much. It's too much.
What do you mean?
It's just it's like he has too much material. Too much. You need a like some sort of like telethon or something like that.
Lou, do you think there'd be a problem with his terminology if, for an example, he were doing a complete 162 game schedule, or maybe he would doing just all of the road
games
or all the home
all
games?
Stuff.
You'd have to recycle.
Yeah, of course.
It's because I got to give it to him. So far, he's coming up with a lot of new original material.
Well, last night there was, you know, the Statue of Liberty was a new one. The grind and shine.
It's a football
or shine
term, isn't
grind.
It? The Statue of Liberty.
It's an actual football play where the quarterback drops
Correct.
Back, the receiver
Correct.
Comes around, takes
See?
The ball out of the quarterback's
See?
Hand.
He knows other sports.
There you go.
He blends,
no, I think he would. If
stealing.
He did every game, he would actually say, you know, I know, you know, last month, you know, we learned about this. You know, so he's going to take you through like a course.
Yes.
So it would be like the first month of the year, if you had a buck 62, it would be like, you know, baseball 101. And then, you know, around May, Memorial Day or so, we'll graduate to the next course. And then we'll get into a few more details. And he's going to take you, the listener, through it. But he just step by step, because he doesn't want to skip too much to like, you know, hit and run. And just assume that you
guys
know,
are ready for it.
Assume that you would know what a hit and run is without explaining yeah. that it's when the guy runs yeah. and there's a swing
oh,
behind
well,
it.
Oh, it's too much. So they're going to hit and run?
Catch in right field.
I'd call that a five-tool player.
You're right. This must kill Steve Lyons. You know, you could read Steve Lyons' mind. It just kill him.
They should have a camera on his face.
His and Dave O'Brien's. I want like O'Brien's face down on the bottom box. Because Nesson likes putting all these boxes up there, you know, box over there, box over there. So you have Lyons in a box to the right. So we can hear his expression or watch his eyes roll on these lines. And then we have O'Brien who's laughing his ass off. He's got to be. He's sitting right next to him. How can you keep a straight face if you're Dave O'Brien when he's saying these crazy things?
Yeah, but see, it's
think of O'Brien's world and all the different people he's working with, and how
easier to deal with Gomes though, because that's just his personality.
There's hitting, and then there's hitting with runners in scoring position.
He thinks he is just the brightest guy in the room. Whatever, any room he walks in, he believes that he is the smartest guy when it comes to baseball.
That's his honey hole.
Because, you know, because nobody knows it and can explain it. It's like pair Johnny Gomes with Denny Matthews, our guy from Kansas City. Put those two guys in a booth together.
Oh, and, what a broadcast.
What a contradiction of styles.
Paul?
High drive, deep left field.
Well, then it becomes
the great
delivery.
Monster and gone.
Then becomes delivery with yeah. terminology.
You got the play-by-play guy, and you got the analyst.
I like to call that Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, have Denny Matthews.
That's a double steal.
Like Johnny Gomes.
A double
like,
steal.
Merge the two.
Means that well, not just one steal, two guys steal. Yeah. Therefore, the double steal.
Red Sox. Schweinhardt. Six.
His lineup flips over right here to the leadoff guy.
He's a switch hitter. So when he hits from the right side, he faces a lefty. When he hits from the left
you're
side,
you're going all Caddyshack. That's what right. he's doing. He turned into her homer, a Cinderella girl. He's going all Caddyshack right now.
166 is going here.
That's what he should do.
Unbelievable.
Here comes a...
That would be special.
A Statue of Liberty.
I can't
do it at all.
For Nesson,
I can't
though,
fake it.
The Nesson's brought some comedy to the games. They want. Hey, listen. Well, they know. They did the research. No, they did the research.
That's what it is.
Oh, I think it's very intended.
You think it's intended? Oh, they're keeping Johnny Gomes in there saying, listen, hey, Johnny.
Oh, absolutely.
We love the breakdown.
Yes.
I mean, we have a lot of people. Our information shows, our research shows that there's a lot of people. They don't understand the game.
Right.
So you need to be that guy. What did you say it was? The glow pug? No. Who's it? When they're trying to get
Peter
hockey
Puck.
To be.
Peter Puck.
Peter Puck.
Peter Puck.
Peter the Puck
must
or Peter Puck?
Peter Puck.
Peter Puck here again.
Peter Puck.
I'm going to tell you about playing the game.
This is the most
this happened during
the game.
During
the game. Right here at the center face-off circle.
What was this?
During the game. It was the most embarrassing
when was
thing.
This?
During
like
the game.
30 years
it was
ago?
A network. What network was it, Paul? Does it say the network?
Some network in Canada?
No, it was.
No,
no here in the United States.
So, like,
they
so
were trying to
ESPN
sell.
Got into it.
They were trying to sell ice hockey
listen, they ran
to the country.
They ran that opening night down in Nashville and Atlanta
yes,
when they like got teams down there,
yeah.
maybe.
They did. This
the Dallas
is
Stars.
Vegas.
NBC had it. NBC did it.
NBC?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, when NBC got the rights.
Hockey Night in Canada, CBC, CNBC,
yes,
Canada.
And we just ridicule the crap out of it.
You because you're a hockey town. Oh, I forgot.
Well, can you imagine?
We know our hockey.
Can you imagine what the Canadians thought about it?
Oh.
Well,
they probably stormed. They probably tried to storm the studio.
Yeah.
With pitchforks and stuff.
Let's get back to the phone calls. And then one of our guys here in the building has decided to go all in and suddenly thinks that the Celtics are... They're going to win the whole thing.
What?
We'll get to it.
One of our guys? Or
what?
One of your guys?
Well.
He's one of your guys.
I don't think any of us want to own him, but. Or
claim
we'll
him.
We'll get to it. Yeah, claim him. Chris is in Halifax. What's up, Chris?
Well, first of all, contrary to 1970s UNH basketball legend Allen, LeBron James is one of the three best basketball players of all time.
It's pretty
so
good.
There's that. Secondly, I don't think it can be understated just how insane it is that a 21-year-old and a 20-year-old kid in the span of a month have essentially rendered a Kawhi Leonard trade from a practical point of view, a Danny Ainge point of view, probably already moot, and from a PR point of view, if they get to the finals, it's just undoable. I just don't know how you pull the trigger on trade for one of those kids.
Yeah, I think you'd have a question with it right now based on the contract and how affordable those guys are for the next 3-4 years.
I'll tell you what.
Anthony Davis, we're talking maybe a different story.
Let's wait and see what happens tonight. You got a 2.9% chance of getting second or third pick tonight, correct?
Yes.
We have a 3% chance of being the most hated basketball team in the history.
I would agree.
Imagine
that's
that.
Before tip-off. I would agree with
that. Imagine
that
if they win that thing.
What if you do? What if you get the second or third? Now, all of a sudden, you know, Danny Ainge is sitting there going, oh, my God.
Well, it's even crazier. The Sacramento Kings are going to suck next year, and the draft is going to have Bol Bol, Cam Reddish, and what's the other kid?
Sure.
The other kid is even better.
I'm sure there'll be great ones.
The draft next year is crazy.
I'm sure they will be. I have no idea. I know this year there's some guys, right? So what can you do with that? You know, and now maybe you're not packaging, you know, Brown and Tatum. Maybe it's Rozier. You know, I'm just saying. Like,
with Brown and Tatum, they are what the NBA is right now.
Yep.
They are guys who can defend four positions, who can shoot the three. They are what the league is. So the idea of trading one of those guys, when Danny can spend the next few years building his roster as he wants it to be for the title run, when you can use the bird rights on those two guys, when ownership has already said that when they have a championship roster, they're more than willing to go into luxury tax. You can't move those guys.
Yeah, I'm not sure the Kawhi Leonard thing makes any more sense. In that you already have some questions about him. What the hell happened this past year? So there's some questions there. He's coming up on a deal. He wants to be a max contract guy. You've already got Kyrie that you've got to be concerned with at the end of next year at a maximum contract guy. Now, Anthony Davis, all bets are off. Because to me, if you deal one of these guys, you get Anthony Davis. You're still keeping one of them. I think both Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are both going to be phenomenal players. Now suddenly, it gives you something where you can beat Golden State.
I mean, I'm at the point where, you know, I'm not all in on Kawhi Leonard. You know,
I'm not either.
Because, I mean, you have wing guys. Davis is different. Davis is completely different in my mind.
Well, it changes the matchup with Golden State, does it
change,
not?
It changes everything. I mean, it changes everything.
Could you make an argument?
We got to talk about what you got to give up for him, but he's a guy that you really have to think about. Kawhi, I have no problem if someone says, nope, I don't want Kawhi for this guy or that guy, for Tatum or Brown and a pick. I get that. I'm with you. But Davis is different.
You could make an argument that Jaylen Brown will be Kawhi Leonard or something very similar within 2 years, 3 years, right? You can do that because he can defend.
Well, if you certainly had any doubt about these guys and wanted to see what they're like in the postseason, right? Because, I mean, think about it. Isaiah Thomas accomplished an awful lot, and people are still like, whatever, I got to see what he does in the postseason. And you know, he did his thing last year, too. And then it turns into, fine, like Rozier, fine, you can do it at home. Let's see what you do on the road. You know, Jaylen puts up 30-plus right on the road in the game, and Tatum looks comfortable on the road as well at times. So that has to sort of change your opinion, or at least move it forward. You're more confident in your opinion that, you know, you want to stay with these two guys.
Yeah, I agree.
Every step of the way, you believe in him more and more.
Except for Anthony Davis. Because Anthony Davis
would... Well, I would agree.
Because the one fear you have right now is you're going to have to go up against that Golden State Warrior team.
Well, the question is...
You add Anthony Davis, you change the...
You add Kawhi Leonard, so it's wing player for wing player. And you say, what have I got? When you add Anthony Davis, you add a big. Now, whether he goes with Horford, you probably got to give up Horford, but whatever. But now you're talking about a different level.
You have a big that can play small and is a much better player than Draymond Green. He can do more, right, than Draymond Green.
You know, Davis?
Yeah.
Oh, he's and Joel Embiid, any other big guy, he's the best there is.
So, but I'm talking about going up against Golden State. If this team is right now in that conversation, in that group of four or five teams maybe, that you're talking about over the next 3, 4, 5 years is a championship contender, the team you have to be concerned about is Golden State. Because they're loaded, and none of them are going anywhere. They have no fear of losing any of these players. All they have to do, and they'll be able to add in the supplement players, guys that are aging players who want to win a championship, that will give you 12, 16, 17 minutes. They can get all those guys right now. So they're the perfect fit to have a long run. How do you knock them off right now? You match up pretty well, as Lou was saying earlier, because of the mismatches and what you've got length. You've got athletic bodies that can play the 2, the 3, the 4. But if you get Anthony Davis, suddenly I think that changes the weights this thing differently. All right, Steve Poulpet in the Boston Herald has written this piece, "Those who doubt Al Horford's value are missing the point. In the religion of basketball, he is the test that determines entry into the hall of people who know what the hell's going on." Apparently he does not think that Lou Maloney is one of those people.
I'm curious to know if he even knows what I think of him.
We're gonna find out.
Here's the thing. He doesn't.
This is
the recycled article. How many of these have we seen?
Gasper's coming out with one next week.
No. Gasper won't come out with one until September. Okay. Oh, by the way, he's really good.
So let's set it up. We'll have a little debate here over Al Horford. Average Al or not? 617-779-7937. Steve Bullpit next.
Now back to OMF with Glenn, Christian, and the host Celtics fans can't get enough of.
Some people out there, Lou Maloney.
What does Maloney know?
We're not asking about batting averages. Right. What does Lou know, right?
I was thinking about this long and hard, and for you, Lou Maloney.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Al Horford, the talk of Boston today, certainly silencing some of his critics. How can you hate on him, people?
Thank you, Kyle Draper. That was very nice.
Al was the MVP, says this tweet that came from Celtics fan. We're not asking about batting averages. Right. What does Lou know, right?
No, I'm joking. For you, Lou Maloney. Besides, what does Maloney know?
Al doesn't even know your name. Knowing your position on Al Horford. They've missed Lou's position on this. They really have, because I was the one a year ago who was debating him, saying that Al's not that player. He's not capable of giving you those 24-point nights and the 12 rebounds. He does the little things. He's the facilitator. He's a big man who can pass. He's like a point forward, yada, yada, yada. And Lou's point was, no. He's got to be better than that. He can be better than that after paying him that type of money. And it turns out, lately, Al is that guy. He's the guy that has elevated his game. I heard A. Sherrod Blakely yesterday say, I talked to Al today, and I asked him how he has elevated his game now into the score and taking shots. And his answer was, well, I had to because Kyrie is out. Well, Kyrie's been out for a while. And didn't you sit here, Lou, and say when Kyrie was out, well, where's Al now? Where's Al having a big night? So Al's become that player, I think, that Lou wanted
to
become.
Out of necessity, right?
So from somebody who was debating Lou on this a year ago, you're missing his point. I think Bullpen is as well, because I think he's really needling you. It's got to be in this
piece.
Let me
ask you, honestly, because we've heard this a lot, even like the opening thing, like quieting the critics in the city. We said that poll the other day, like who receives more criticism in this town? And it was David Price, Tuukka Rask, and Al Horford.
Not even the same league.
Like, do you guys really think that there are a lot of critics on Al Horford's game? Like, do you really think in this city people are critical of Al Horford? Seriously.
No, first of all, Celtics fans are not critical of
anybody?
Their players. Their base, their loyal base. Bruins fans do. If they feel Tuukka Rask is in the way of them winning a series, they're going to dump all over Tuukka Rask. And we know the Price situation, you know, getting on Eck last year and, you know, saying stupid, idiotic things. But I'm reading Bullpen here. I have listened to and read the running commentary.
Where'd you read it?
Where did I read one?
No, where did he read it?
That's a good. Well, you can ask him. Well, he's going to come on in a couple of minutes here.
You might have listened to it, but where have you ever read it? Because everything I've ever read has told me I'm an idiot.
Well, that's.
I've never heard anyone
actually.
That's
the emails that Christian and I send you, but that's separate.
I've never read a single article actually saying that he is capable of doing more, and even though he does all the little things. I like to see him more aggressive and show up and score some points.
Fair.
Be more aggressive.
Yep.
I've never read that.
Bullpen writes, I have heard the believers and the detractors, plural. So you can ask him, because I think there was a detractor. I know that detractor. And I've spoken to countless people who make their living in this game. And after all of it, I just don't understand why this is an issue. With all due respect, those who believe Al Horford is not an elite player or worth his max contract just beep, 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 don't beep, 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 get beep, 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 it.
You can say it without doing the beep, so you know there is a way to say it.
Just effect.
Don't no, get it.
It's a better
it.
Effect with
no,
the beep.
No, the beep, beep,
beep. No, beep, beep actually ruins the effect.
It did. Oh, you could do it without
hold
it.
On. How should I do it? Give
okay.
it to me again?
Well, no, you
just
heard me.
Just don't get it.
Yeah,
better,
there
much better.
Good
forget
beef,
about
beef,
thank
beef.
You. Thank you for the criticism. Forget about the belief at this keyboard. To hold either of these positions puts you in the opposing side of the brightest people in the NBA. Ooh, we're getting elitist here, all right? Celtics are in the Eastern Conference Finals with a 1-0 lead. Horford's fingerprints are all over it, even the ability of the younger players to perform this well. Then he talks about his contract, and he says he's worth it. Most basketball people see beyond the numbers when it comes to Horford. And we're not just talking about the testimonials that come when any coach is asked about
it's
an
funny.
Opposing player.
We look, you know, we got to look beyond the numbers, right? So why does he get praised when he scores 24?
I can't argue this point because I know your position. And so.
Well, I mean, is this a rhetorical question or you want to ask the man himself?
We will.
No, I'm just saying, like, we got to look beyond the numbers. Okay, when he has 24, then everybody lights up. Why?
I told you he could do it. I told you.
Listen to this.
Look beyond the numbers.
Listen to this. The most tepid accolade you'll get is that player X is very dangerous. No coaches bring up Horford unprompted and even in private conversations. But the numbers on his individual stat sheet will never match those on his contract.
They are.
And that will be enough for the detractors.
They are now.
And then he kind of loses me because he goes into the comparison of Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain.
That's where you stop reading.
Yeah, it's a different game. And it's
at least he admits he's not putting Horford in that category.
What do you mean, with Russell and Chamberlain?
Right.
No.
Like, as far as like the winner goes, I don't know what he did in college, and we can live on the college days all we want. A lot of guys live on college. You know, I don't consider Tim Tebow a great NFL player. Do you? But look what he did in college.
No.
I mean, he's outstanding in college.
Yes.
Right? So why did we dog Tim Tebow? Look what he was in college. So we can talk about college, but the reality is he hasn't won a championship yet. Yeah, he's a winning player. I understand how he makes winning plays, but I'm glad he didn't put him in Russell's category.
So what are Horford's detractors missing? And then he quotes Stevens saying just consistency, comes to work, works hard, listens.
No question.
Somebody, I mean, he's doing what he's supposed to do. Isn't that basically like, I mean, okay, here's
coach's dream.
Here's
said it many times.
Yeah, can you just can you be solid? Can you be consistent? That's a $30 million a year guy.
Yeah.
Okay, let's find out. A longtime scribe for the Boston Herald covering your Boston Celtics. He goes way, way back. Steve Volpet. Steven, how are you today?
Living the dream.
Well, now you are.
Let's see if you say that about 8 or 9 minutes from now. So we've read a good part of your piece here, and I'll start off with the question that Lou had, and then you and Lou can kind of go at it. But what people are you talking about, other than our guy Lou Maloney here, that have been the main detractors, the non-believers in Al Horford? Because I think most people have been kind of supportive of Al Horford.
I'm talking about the people online, and there's an Al Horford war that goes on after every loss. Hmm. And the fact that they're winning now, you're not hearing stuff, but there's, you know, and the fact that he's coming off a really good game, you're not hearing it today, but they lose tonight, and it'll be out there. I'm just, that's what I'm going off of.
But Steve, I would ask you, like, is he getting, praise, rightfully so. I've said it before, he's the MVP of this postseason for this team. He's been absolutely outstanding. And one of the reasons why he's getting so much praise, is it not because of what he's doing offensively? To go along with the little things that he brings every single night, defense, all the other stuff, but isn't it really about the 20-point efforts that he's putting forth now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, that's been a criticism of his. That's something I've brought up to him in the past, last year, this year. It's like, looking for your shot more. But that's kind of a mistake to think that way, because if he's looking for his shot and going out and getting his numbers, do guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum develop properly? Are they getting as good as shots if Al Horford's putting his head down and going to the bucket and getting his stats? I mean, I think one of the reasons this team is where it is right now is because Horford has, subjugated part of his own game for other people.
Well, I think we got to go back to, like, the original birth of the average Al comment. And it really started last year when a team that was desperately searching for a consistent second scorer. And that guy was Avery Bradley for the most part, who missed a month and a half during the year. And where it started was for the month that Avery Bradley was out, in the month of February, Al averaged 10-7. And that's where it started. It's like, is he going to just continue to do this, with guys out? Is he going to be more aggressive? Is he going to be a consistent second scorer that he needs to be? And I was told that he can't be a 20-10 guy, and I'm asking too much. I don't understand the game. And now he's sort of showing that, there's no Kyrie Irving, and he's being more aggressive, even with Jaylen, Tatum, Rozier, still scoring, Marcus Morris. So he's actually doing exactly what I was wanting him to do in an absence of a second scorer before. So I don't – he's shown he can do it. I just wonder why he hasn't been able to do it in the past when needed.
If he's a 20-10 guy, if he's a big numbers guy, then I don't think your team is that good.
Well, he is now.
He's now in spots.
No, pretty much. I mean, 18-9, all playoffs, which basically means he scored, 20 points plus in 6 games so far this postseason? I mean, that to me is, usually averaging 18, you're putting up 20 a night and the occasional 12, but for the most part, you're in that 20 range, which is what he's been. He's doing it.
And is this team right now, that he's a 20-10 guy or something like that, going to win an NBA championship?
They're going to make it to the finals.
Why are they going to make it to the finals?
Because he's a 20-10 guy.
Because the East is the East right now.
Okay.
So the thing that was...
Well, wait a minute. You're dismissing Horford. You're doing the same thing, Steve. You're dismissing him entirely. The thing is that you wrote it during the course of the year, because this team has been very, very good defensively, but there have been nights that they have difficulty scoring. And you're almost making it sound right now as if Al Horford is part of the management of the team, while his job is to bring along the kids slowly. He wasn't taking shots. Right now, he's aggressively taking shots out there. There were nights he was taking 6, 7, 8 shots in the course of a game when you were writing that this team needed scorers. They needed to put points up.
And he's shown he can do it.
I've I've always thought Al should be more assertive with the ball. I've always thought that. But, you know, when you take a step back, you know, I think that the way he's done it is the way that the coach wants him to do it. And, I mean, if you're going to go off and do your own thing and go away from what you're being asked to do, then that's kind of a problem. I just think that that even when he has good nights, there'll be people out there, and it's, you know, it's maybe it's the people I'm following on Twitter or the people that are responding or I'm getting tagged or whatnot, but it's like, well, yeah, he's good, but he's not worth X amount of dollars.
Well, I mean, you can look at guys like Charles Barkley, national guys who have, you know, who have had some comments about Al Horford. But I almost feel like the one thing that bugs everybody, it's why they'll change their narrative, they'll move the goalposts, they'll excuse everything away, is that they just don't like the name Average Al. To me, it's like this big sign of disrespect that everybody else, or I guess the guys, the people in the know, have to somehow defend.
I don't know. It's, you know, I don't get that, but.
Well, I mean, that's my point. So if we call him Average Al as a joke, when he is average, when he isn't, you know, playing, you know, at a higher level because he needs to, is that what just bugs everybody?
I'm not sure what bugs everybody. I mean, I'm.
What bugs you? Does that bug you? Does it bug you? Does it bug you? If we call Al Horford Average Al, does it bug you?
Are you guys under the
impression? Just say yes or no. Let him go. Just say yes or no.
Are you guys under the impression that this column is about your show?
A lot of it. Yes.
That's not correct.
Okay.
So who are the random people on Twitter?
But you haven't been able
on Twitter?
Steve, you haven't been able to describe the detractors.
So you're talking about Twitter because, like you said, when you said you listen and you read – you know, when you say listen,
and Lou, your stuff gets brought up on Twitter as well.
Yeah,
but I don't feel a need to. You know, I don't feel. I just felt this thing was getting out of hand. That's all.
Yeah, see, it's the thing. I don't.
That's why I chose. Okay, well.
No, that's okay. Listen, Steve, I'm not saying you can write what you want. It's all right. But what I'm saying is,
I don't like broccoli. You might like broccoli. I don't.
Jeez. No, I think, listen, he's there's no question he's earning his money. I've openly admitted it. It's just that, you know, we talk about games here. You know, when they play a game, we talk about it. When they play 5-6 in a row, you know, when he has his stretches where, you know, maybe there's 6 points, 4 rebounds, you know, and I'm like, he wasn't good last night. And it's like, oh, you don't understand the game. You don't understand the little things. And I'm like, well, you know, and then the money comes up. Listen, I don't fault the man for taking the money or for Danny Ainge offering the money. But you have to admit,
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what you, but do you think he's worth the money?
I think he's showing right now that he's worth the money, yes. Yeah, and I think he was because you brought him on here in the hopes of getting Kevin Durant. I get all that.
Yeah, but that's different.
But I always bring up the whole thing. Like, I like Marcus Smart. I love Marcus Smart. And I think he's a great player. But do I want to give Marcus – Marcus Smart's making $17 million a year, do I look at him differently? Yes, I do, and I think I should.
But, Steven, that's not a compliment necessarily that we talk about, is he worth the money? He's worth the money because he opened up the doors for free agency for Danny Ainge. As you know, as I said, you've been around for a long time. Xavier McDaniel and Dominique Wilkins were the guys they were bringing in. They couldn't get free agents to come to this town and play for this team. So he opened up the door, and he opened up the door for other things to happen. It was a domino effect. But if you're looking at the $28, $30 million and comparing it to what he brings on the court every night, I'm not sure that's equal value, is it?
Well, I do think that if you didn't have Al Horford, you'd spend a lot trying to get one. And the fact is that was his market value.
Right.
Yeah, I don't blame that.
This wasn't Portland bidding against itself for Evan Turner. That's what the market was. And if you took Al Horford off this team right now, I think they'd be in severe trouble.
I agree.
Even, you know, I mean, and even if you had Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, you know, he performs a service defensively and et cetera. And it doesn't all, and Glenn, you were around long enough, you know that it doesn't always show up in numbers.
Right.
You know, a guy that just goes after rebounds and leaves his man, you know, gives up as many offensive boards. And, you know, stat hounds, can screw your team up.
Yeah, but here's the issue I have, Steve. Here's the issue I have with Lou's position, because Lou and I would debate this last year, and I, like you, was saying, what about the little things? What about this? He's a great passing big man. He does this. He opens it up, okay? That's all well and good. And the people at the time that were defenders of him, and I think they're a majority of them defend this guy because he seems to be a really nice guy, a leader, and people like him, that they were sitting there trying to accentuate the little things. Now, suddenly, when you really needed him, because Kyrie Irving is down, you need to score points, and now he's giving you 20 when he has to. He's giving you that. Suddenly those people are saying, see, I told you he was a great player. Well, wait a minute. What about all the little things? All Lou was saying is, why can't he do the big thing?
Well, it sounds like you at times feel the same way. You know, like you like to see
Steve
him
does,
more aggressive, but when we talk about you can't just look at the numbers, look at everything else he does. Right now he's being praised because not just the little things. He's being praised because of the numbers he's putting up offensively.
Numbers, which is silly, because tonight, if the Cavaliers start Tristan Thompson,
yep,
and Tristan Thompson hangs on him, Al Horford might not have probably won't have the same kind of offensive numbers. But that doesn't mean that that if he moves outside and drags Tristan Thompson with him, that the driving lanes will be more open for guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And he, you know, Al might go 2-for-7 tonight, but have a bigger effect on the game. I mean, it's look, everything's in context. Everything is you know, relative to space and all that, you know, how the floor gets spaced. And look, Kevin McHale was a better basketball player because Larry Bird had to be guarded closer, which meant that Kevin had an extra half second to operate in the low post because Larry's man wasn't going to double down on him, or if he did, wasn't going to be quickly. So everything kind of, you know, how does stuff fit together? So, yeah, I mean, Al could go out and have a 9-point game this evening, and LeBron could go off for 50. The Celtics could lose, and that's not necessarily Al Horford's fault, although you would look at the box score and say, yeah, there's the difference right there.
Well, I think we'll wait and watch the game. Yeah.
All right, Steve, you got us to read today. Good stuff. We'll talk to you down the road.
Guys, be well.
All see right. you. Steve Bulpet of the Boston Herald. The funny thing is, when you hear him and listen to him, I think he agrees more with you than he understands.
Well, no. I mean, listen,
it's getting lost in translation somewhere.
I'm saying is, you do watch the game. People just think you just look at the score. I mean, obviously, if Tristan Thompson's on him, yeah, he's going to do exactly what Steve said.
Right?
And it might open the lanes, and you watch that, fine. But you do watch the games, and there'll be other nights when, you know, you look at the matchup and say, okay, when Tristan Thompson's out and it's Kevin Love's in, now is that going to be the moment in the game for that 5-minute stretch that you see Al Horford take it to Kevin Love? And if he doesn't, you're going to say, okay, what happened there?
Right.
So, I mean, you watch the games. People accuse you of not doing it, but I don't care.
Don't get defensive.
But I'm saying don't praise a guy by saying you're just looking at the numbers. You know, he doesn't have to. He can't put up 20, and then when he puts up 20, say, "Ha-ha, I showed you."
Yeah, I think you're the catalyst.
That goes against everything,
right?
And I think you're talking about.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it, they don't understand.
If you're reacting to people on Twitter
or Lou
and bloggers, I mean,
you can't get worked up.
Yeah, but there's no bloggers that get on him.
And I don't know.
He's talking about people on Twitter now.
Yeah, that's my point. So, but the people that matter,
so say Twitter,
who are watching. Yeah, that's what I read and hear on Twitter.
There has been an
increased amount of articles written defending him, praising him.
Where are the rip jobs?
There are none. There are none. Because
I haven't seen any.
Because if he goes for 10, if he only goes 10, well, you know what? He was doing those little things. He was sacrificing his own numbers for the betterment of the team. Well, there you go. So you're telling me Tristan Thompson's on? Are you telling me, okay, you can only give me 9? Like, no, here's the thing. It's the NBA championship. Okay, you can't give me these excuses like, well, you know, he sacrificed himself and he pulled Tristan Thompson out. There were more lanes there. No! Find a way to score on Tristan Thompson. Get a switch. Find a mismatch. Right? It can still go through you.
Well, you can take Tristan Thompson out to the three-point line.
Shoot him.
It'll open up the lane. And if he comes out, if he doesn't come out, you can shoot the three. If he does come out, you can go by.
It's just like every,
there's always an excuse. Right? No matter what side you choose, there's an excuse for him not doing what you want him to do.
All right, let's take a break. We'll get back to the phone call. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
On air, online, via Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. More of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now. Sports Radio WEEI.
LeBron owns Brad Stevens. He owns Boston. Jason Tatum's a very good player for the Boston Celtics. We have a picture of Jason Tatum as a little boy with LeBron James getting his autograph. Yes, getting his autograph. LeBron's offseason concerns are a dynasty, greatest of all time legacy. What stars can I connect with to change the galaxy of the NBA? Boston's offseason concerns, can we find somebody that can guard LeBron?
What the hell is he talking about?
I don't know. He's lost his mind.
Is he watching these games at all?
Concerns.
He's not watching the game. You know what he's doing? He's living. He's living his life on what he. You can't do that.
And street cred.
And street cred, exactly. And I'm not sitting here telling you that we learned anything from game one. Series is far from over, and you know you haven't learned anything yet. But for crying out loud, coming out and criticizing Jason Tatum because of the picture. He was a little kid at one time. So all the great players, all the great athletes,
top of my head,
were little kids at one time.
Yeah, of course, and
they become the age of professional athletes.
So we're going to be critical of Devers because he had two home runs off Cologne?
Exactly.
Right. That's 20 or something years older than him.
What are we talking about?
So he praised him when he was a kid. He loved Bartolo Colon. Now he's a young kid in the big leagues, and Colon's 50. What's the big deal?
What scares me is Rafael Devers might look like Bartolo Colon by the time he's 35.
True.
Body type. It may happen that way. All right, let's see if we can get some reaction to what Steve Bulpet said. I don't think Bulpet, after reading his piece, I don't think he actually thinks that way. Where were the detractors? We didn't come up with any of them. Here's Reg in Providence. Hey, Reg. Reg, hey.
Hey.
What's up?
All right. You guys have a hell of a producer.
Ooh, he's okay.
You guys chew that man up. That's what lets you know you have a good producer.
How's that?
What that man made no sense. I was sitting in my car thinking I could make a better point about his article than his. He was over there agreeing with everything you said.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what the deal was either.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the detractors are though. I can't. I still don't.
So
the bunch of Twitter people that are calling Al Horford names and Anna's getting pissed off. Is that what we're talking about here? What are we talking about?
I think unfortunately a lot of these guys that do talk, whether it's like, you know, Corrales or Gilroy, I think if you had a conversation with them, they'd probably understand what the hell you're talking about. They probably would eventually agree with you, but they'd rather not and just call everybody idiots when Al goes for 24 points. And saying, aha, you're wrong, when they don't even realize what the argument is.
Yeah, right? And at the end of the day, he sounds like one of those people that he had something to write about, so he had to write. And I'm one of the people that I'll defend Al Horford. If I had the time right now, I know you guys hang up, but I'm going to defend Al Horford. He is the worst person to talk about Al Horford. Oh, my God.
Well, go ahead, talk about him. Defend him.
Hey, listen, the way I look at it is,
good defense.
During the season and all of that, Al Horford is not going to be the kind of guy that he's like, give me my numbers, give me all of this. He's going to do what Brad tells him. When we got to the playoffs, Kyrie is not there. We're playing with a bunch of young boys. So Brad told them, we're going to run through you. So now he feels like he needs to be more aggressive. He's going to run the ball. He's going to be more of a leader. But you can look back to his college coach. His college coach said the same thing. Whatever I told him to do, he did. Whatever the case is, whatever I needed him for, he made it happen.
Here's the thing. The thing is that this whole...
Right now, that's just the way I feel.
Thanks.
You know, maybe he's not the best.
Okay, we got it. Okay, we got the essence of it. See, I'm not buying... I'm not even buying the bullpen line that Al is just being subservient and he's doing everything the coach wants him to do, which means not scoring. Because I remember during the course of the season, when the team was not doing so well, Bulpet would write pieces about the defense is still out there, but this team has trouble scoring. They need to score. Well, who was capable? And you started this last year with Avery Bradley down. They needed scoring.
That was it.
Who is capable on the roster of going out there, taking more shots and giving you offense? The answer is Al Horford.
Yeah, but he got a pass.
He gets a pass all the
time.
That's
not who he is. Which led just, you're going to have an average guy just out there? Like, that? You're okay with just him him shooting 10 and 8, 10 and 9. Like, that's average. That's a glorified role player. That's not good enough.
Who does little things that a coach loves.
You're a veteran player. You've been in the league long enough. That's a given. Like, you should do that.
But what? Did he win the Tommy Award?
Now, again, it's like, you know, when you're looking for, when Kyrie Irving is down, there's more shots. So now he takes over. Well, there you go. Avery Bradley goes down last year. Where was he? He disappeared.
Kyrie this year.
And there are times during the season, you know, where guys go down and you're like, okay, well, this will be a game where you would think that they're down a couple players. Al would be more aggressive, and he's not. And it's just like, okay, is he ever going to do it? Now he is in the postseason. He was great last postseason. I said it before. So, you know, this is all I wanted. That's all.
That's all I wanted for Christmas.
That's all I wanted. No, what I'm getting now is all I want.
But they still think that you're
wrong. I'm an idiot.
You're an idiot.
Let's get Brock. Get this guy, Brock.
Here's Brock in Middleborough.
This is an interesting take.
Hey, Brock.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's up, Brock?
The Bullpen article, it's just more people patting themselves on the back.
Yes.
For some reason, Al Horford has been associated with basketball intelligence. If you compliment Al Horford, regardless of how the game goes or what happens, that shows that you know more about basketball than
most
people.
I think Brock just nailed it.
Everybody's going to do whatever they can to just be on that side. Even though sides are meaningless, they want to be on the smart side no matter what.
You just nailed it.
Nailed it.
Ding, ding, ding. Circle gets a square. Give him the award.
Here's the thing.
Battlefield Committee.
Every single athlete, Brock, every single athlete in this town, when he goes through bad stretches, we talk about it. Even if it's Tom Brady, we talk about it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, don't we?
Yeah.
I mean,
God forbid he throws a bad pass behind somebody.
Brady has a bad game in a playoff game. We talk about it. Yeah. We don't sit there and say,
Brady could have one bad game and you'd have half a day of calls and people saying, all right, get Garoppolo.
Exactly.
In here.
You try to do that.
Saying, all right, who's backing up Al Horford this game?
You try to talk poorly about Al. People always say, well, everybody's a bad game. Yep, they do. And when they do, we talk about it. Usually we do.
Yeah, he's very protected.
Not him.
He seems to be a wonderful guy, and maybe that's part of it, that they really like him personally.
But.
Right. And he's been a different player. But he's been a different player than the Al Horford that they were protecting during the course of the season when he was doing the little things and not doing the big things. Because he needs to do, when you don't have the big players, the little things are not going to help you because you got no big players to cash in on what you're setting up as the little things. So he needed to suddenly be one of the big players, and he's become that. But you talk about the bloggers and whatever. I mentioned the other day, Celtics have got to win the first two games of the series. You do not want to you want to hold on to home court. It is ultra important for this young team to win these first two games in this series. So I mentioned that, and you talk about the Gilroys of the world. He's tweeting back at me the other night, well, you got to understand that the team that wins the first game of these series usually wins the series 83% of the series or whatever. That's not my point. Does Patrick Gilroy really feel that he's satisfied that the Celtics, because they've won game one, and the odds tell you, even though you're playing in a series with maybe one of the two greatest or three greatest players of all time, that it's okay just to win game one? Can they lose tonight, Patrick? Do you feel comfortable in your Boston Celtics because you're throwing out the 83% of teams that win game one win the series? They're usually higher seeds. We get that. They're usually the better team, and they are playing at home, and we know the home road numbers. Are you telling me that any Celtic fan feels comfortable right now that you can lose this game tonight and you're still going to feel comfortable tomorrow when you call the show or listen to the show, that you're going to feel that this team is going to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers?
You won't feel as good.
You're crazy.
Yes, I'm fine with
you're
it.
You're crazy.
No, I think that they
you're
can.
You're out of your mind.
I don't think it's
fine
over if they lose the series.
Yeah.
I think if they lose this game tonight, I don't think it's over.
I don't think it's over either.
I think that Cleveland team is flawed, and I think Boston can go to Cleveland and sneak one.
Anybody going
to
feel good about it? No, you are not.
Just like LeBron James takes that first game, and he kind of surveys the land and tries to figure out what everything. He's kind of like
he
takes a picture. The Celtics, what they've done, usually
game
two,
game
two, they like to take a break. They like to take a break because they really want to get ready for
game three. But I don't even like that stat you had before, right? Like the Celtics as a franchise.
Yeah.
2-0.
37.
It's irrelevant.
But I don't think there's too many variables. You think this team
right
now is going back and saying, you know, what the Celtics did in the 80s?
Yeah, Bill Russell's not 90s, walking through that door.
Like
Larry
past,
Bird's not
what,
walking
what the
through
that
door.
What does that got to do with this team
It'd
this
be cool
year?
If they did, though.
It would be cool.
I'm ready to play. You know, they covered Bird a lot harder than they did Kevin McHale. He had an extra second to get his shot off.
Yeah. It just did the little things. He'd be passive little guy. All right, 617-779-7937. We've got another hour to go.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.